Hi, today I've got with me Simon Hearn from the Overseas Development Institute, who's going to share a little bit about his work facilitating a community of practice that their organization has been sponsoring. Simon is officially a research officer, but Simon, tell me what you really see your role as there at the organization.
Yeah, well, I guess it helps just to say a bit about what the Overseas Development Institute is for a start, because we're a think tank in the UK. A think tank that focuses on international development and humanitarian issues. So, in fact, most of the people I work with are researchers. They're researchers who do a lot of work on sort of policy issues around development. But I work in a group that focuses on the interface between research and policy. So we do research ourselves on that interface, but we also do a lot of sort of advisory and consulting services for people who want to be better at influencing policy. So although I'm called a research officer, that's the level I'm at within the organization, but my function is much more of a facilitator. I facilitate a network, I coordinate another network. I see those roles as slightly different, which might be interesting to talk about, but and also run workshops, training events for people. So it's less a research role and more a facilitation role.
So it's interesting that many of our organizations actually don't have names for these roles that we're providing, yet I think you and I both believe they're pretty crucial roles.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. And I think there have been conversations within ODI about that particular topic, that issue. So we may see that progressing more in the future. But there's a difference because we also have sort of coordinators who sort of coordinate programs. So there's a kind of issue about it's just a kind of a management structural thing about, you know, what do we call these people?
Tell us a little bit about those networks and how you distinguish those two roles, because I am interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not so much that I have decided that one role is facilitating, one role is coordinating. I just think that's just the way the two networks behave differently. The first is a much more of an individual community of practice called the Outcome Mapping Learning Community, and that's the one that I have most experience with and probably be concentrating on in this conversation. And the other one is a global network of, well, it's mostly a global network of research institutes and think tanks in the global south. So we set up and support this network of organizations in order to facilitate learning around evidence-based policy. So it's called the Evidence-Based Policy and Development Network. My role in that is, I see it more as a coordinator, because the sorts of activities it's more coordinating certain functions like calls to research and getting people to sort of apply for grants that we have, organizing events and things like that. Whereas in the outcome mapping community, it's much more about facilitating learning among the members on a more interactive basis, really about it's a lot, the discussion forum, for example. There's a discussion forum in both platforms, but the outcome mapping is a lot more active. And so my role there is much more about encouraging and managing these discussions.
So there's more attention to the interaction, not just the connection and the keep in touch aspects.
Yeah, exactly. And with the EBPDN network, that sort of level of interaction tends to happen at the regional level. We're kind of moving towards a decentralized regional focus for community building. So we've actually set up sort of coordinators within 5 different regions who will coordinate local events and sort of linking up people and coordinating collaborative projects and things.
Okay, so let's talk about the Outcome Mapping Learning Community, because that's the one that how I got to know you a little bit better was working on this project. And give me a little bit basic information. How did this community come about, and how did you end up being a community leader and facilitator?
Yeah, well, it really started long before I joined ODI, probably back in 2005, I think, there was this methodology called outcome mapping had been around for 3 or 4 years previously. It was developed by IDRC, the International Development Research Center in Canada. And it's essentially it's a methodology for project planning, monitoring, and evaluation that centers around building learning into development programs. So this methodology had been around, and two ODI researchers from the RAPID group, from the group that I work in, went to a training workshop, and they met a lot of people who had been using this methodology. And they met the kind of authors of the manual. And out of that kind of formed this relationship between a few kind of key sort of users and trainers of this methodology. And they just decided that, you know, to carry on discussions that they'd been having at this workshop, they would set up a D group. So they used, you know, the popular D groups platform and set up a discussion group. And they probably had, I don't know, 50 members at that time. It was kind of growing. And then it developed through one of the RAPID researchers, whose name was Ben Ramalingan, was a he was kind of the key instigator, really. And he was in touch with IDRC about developing this D group into more of a community of practice, and kind of managing it and coordinating it more closely. So he put in a proposal to actually develop a community and sort of facilitate it and build a custom platform that it can use, because they kind of ran out the functions that D groups could provide them. So they set up this project, got funding from IDRC, and it ran for, I think, 18 months or so. And it was at the very end of that process, that kind of phase one, as we call it, that I joined. And at that time, over those 18 months or so, the community had probably grown to about 300 or 400 people, just as people learn more about it. As they, some people did, as they do workshops, they learn about community and join them. And I guess it just started getting more active. And at the time, Ben had was only really able to give it one or even less days per week. And he saw that that was not enough to sustain the activity of the community. So he, when writing the sort of second phase proposal, he wrote in a lot more time for a facilitator, and that's the role I took. So when I joined ODI, I joined in order to take over from Ben's role as a facilitator. So they advertised the position for this, and that's how I came in, really.
So when you were you've got this job for facilitating this community, what were your expectations that this would be about?
I'd had some experience with sort of online communities in the past. But mostly on the technical side of setting up the platforms, and I was actually just involved in a project in a previous company before I joined ODI, which was setting up a kind of community platform. But we didn't quite get to the facilitation part, because the donors of that particular project decided they didn't want that type of website. You know, they wanted something a lot more run-of-the-mill and probably a lot more expensive. But so we didn't quite get to the for a community building part of that program. So I was quite excited about coming into a community that was already very active and established, and kind of looking forward to learning a lot about how these things work, really. And I guess I didn't have a lot of experience in the sort of theoretical side of sort of the knowledge management strategies and things like that. And so learning about that alongside Ben was extremely helpful for me.
So Ben transitioned you into the job.
Yeah, very much so. We worked together for about 2 weeks, kind of going through a lot of theory about knowledge management and going through also learning a lot about outcome mapping itself and the methodology. Because at the time, I hadn't really had any experience with outcome mapping. So I was given a baptism of fire, really, into the methodology.
So new, probably to the community facilitation side in some respects, new to the domain, very skilled in the technology. So what was your first surprise?
My first surprise really was that there was a lot more kind of behind the scenes coordination and sort of admin work that needed to be done, and less sort of facilitation work actually. So you can't just be, you know, sending messages to the discussion board every day. That's not the role of a facilitator. There's a lot of building relationships with individual members. There's a lot of building a core community. So we have this group called the Stewards Group, which are kind of is about 6 or 7 key members that have been sort of core backers and sort of champions from the beginning. And a lot of my work was kind of building relationship with them, getting to know them, and sort of finding a balance, really, of where ODI wants to see this project going and where they, as the sort of outcome mapping core group, want to see this project going. But also there was a lot of work with trying to get people to contribute, trying to recruit volunteers for various tasks, trying to get people to write articles for newsletters, and preparing sort of calls for small research projects. So there's a lot more of that sort of activity, and less sort of, as I would call, kind of facilitation of discussions.
Well, in fact, a lot of the activity of the community isn't just in the discussions. So there's a very vibrant sort of listserv / web-based discussion where people ask questions and offer responses. But the community itself has manifestations outside of there, right? There's gatherings and connections
yeah,
with external publications.
Yeah. We try to encourage sort of regional gatherings. So some members just kind of say to everyone that I'm meeting up in a cafe in Lima on this date. You know, anyone in the area, come and find me. And that sort of thing happens. There've been a couple of events that we've kind of organized. So on the back of an evaluation conference in Africa couple of years ago, there was a sort of a side event where the community brought together a lot of experts around utilization focused evaluation and the sort of methodologies that outcome mapping sits under, to just kind of discuss outcome mapping and its potentials and its future. And there's actually a regional conference going on in Latin America later this year that the community is involved in. It's being set up by a sort of sister project to the project that we run in ODI. It's the Latin America Center for Outcome Mapping, which is also funded by IDRC. But we kind of share community space. So they run the Latin America and Spanish language network, and we run the global network, and we try to link the two together and facilitate exchange of learning between the two. So they're hosting this conference, and we're hoping to get involved in that as well.
So yeah, that's really interesting because, oh, I'm sorry, but as a global organization, you've got language issues. So this idea that you partnered with another organization, instead of trying to do the Spanish language itself, you provide the platform, but that they provide the community nurturing and leadership and management, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they were sort of developing their own community kind of almost separately to ours. And then we found out about it through IDRC and invited them to actually, you know, why don't you come and join our, use our platform? You know, it can be a network that you host, but, you know, come and use our platform and we can, it will make coordination and sort of cross linkages a lot easier that way. And so I keep in quite close contact with the facilitator of the Latin America community. There's a translation of stuff that we produce, and there's a translation of into English of things that's going on there. And a lot of the membership is actually, it's the same. A lot of the same people are involved in both.
Just a crossover.
Core people anyway, yeah.
So, Simon, tell me the story of something really fantastic that's come out of this community or happened in this community.
Each year we try to sort of write up the learning that's been going on, particularly on the discussion forum, because that tends to be where people share the most. At the beginning of each year, we kind of start a process of summarizing the discussions from last year. We haven't quite got into the practice of summarizing as we go, but we try to do as much as we can in one session. So out of that process, we've got one book already that's a summary of discussions from 2007. And that's actually very popular, and people find it very useful to see what other people are talking about, to see the issues that other people are having, to recognize their own problems in other people's stories. So we write a synthesis of different topics that have been hotly debated. And we see some of the same things coming up, which is interesting. And we're in the process this year. We're still writing up the discussions from 2008, but we're doing it through a very sort of open process. Whereas before, it would be someone from Secretariat, from ODI, would go through and summarize and synthesize and write up the book. But this time I decided to sort of distribute process to make less work for myself, but also to encourage other people to kind of get involved in community activities and to associate themselves with the community a bit more. So I sent out a message saying, you know, we're starting this process. Does anyone want to volunteer for writing discussion summaries? I had a really good response, actually. I had about 10 people initially wrote back to me and said, yeah, you know, it's fine, I can commit some time. And over the period of several months, you know, we quite a slow process of trying to organize volunteers and things. So it's never, I wouldn't say it's easier to do it through volunteers, but it's certainly more rewarding. But, you know, over the course of these months, we got together a plan, and people could kind of commit to certain amounts of time and certain number of discussions they could summarize, and we slowly got through the list of discussions that needed summarizing, and now we're with two other community members that have volunteered the time, I'm now going through and synthesizing those.
Terrific.
It's been it's been tough. It's been frustrating sometimes when volunteers drop out and kind of don't and you know fail on their commitments. But at the same time, I've had a lot of people come back to me and say that they've found it really interesting to write the summaries. That they have, you know, strangely it seems like I've assigned the right discussions to the right people because they keep telling me, oh, this is really relevant to what I'm going through at the moment. So if someone's writing a discussion summary on how to use outcome mapping in educational projects, and that's really relevant to them because they're going through thought processes.
I'm sitting here smiling for two reasons. Well, for three reasons. One is it's really gratifying to see a community that cares not just about itself, but cares about sharing its learning outwardly. So you've got an orientation towards the world, not just your community. So you're adding a lot of value beyond the membership that you can never see and that unfortunately you can probably never measure, but it's value. The second is that you opened up the process. The thing about summarization in my experience is the summarizers end up learning the most. And it can be a profoundly different perspective of reviewing and trying to pull out the key things of a discussion that's happened in the past that is actually quite different than being in the discussion at that very moment. But it's tough work. It's a lot of work. So it's really gratifying to see that those members saw that there was enough value in the community to give their time. That's saying something. That's saying a lot about the community.
And it's funny. It's not the active people that are, you know, there's a core group of people that contribute to the discussions a lot, but it's not those people that actually volunteered to do the summarizing. It's people that I've never seen the name of before. Suddenly they're wanting to get involved more. So it's good to know that even though people aren't active on the forums, they're still engaged. It's just a pity we can't measure that though.
We can't see it and we can't measure it. That's a topic for a whole nother call is how do we know how we're doing? I wanna wrap up with two more questions. One is, what would you recommend to someone else who's starting out doing something similar?
I would first of all say that face-to-face events are crucial. They kind of energize and invigorate and sort of refresh people and provide a forum just where everything that's gone on kind of online, if you like, before that can be really reflected upon and sort of captured by the community. And it's difficult to do that purely online. And we've learned that the hard way, really, because in this second phase of the project, there was no face-to-face event built into the program, so we didn't have any funding for that. We've kind of got around that slightly by hosting a meeting of our stewards, which although it wasn't a community event, it did kind of greatly increase the energy of that group, and that has kind of wider effects on the wider community. But if we do kind of plan for a third phase of this community, then we'll definitely be writing in some sort of face-to-face events, and not just for conferences or sort of sharing events, but events that people can sort of work together on. So sort of advocacy events, trying to influence the way donors, for example, will include monitoring evaluation in their projects. You know, this is the core of what outcome mapping is about. It's trying to change the way people plan and monitor and evaluate their projects. So trying to think around what type of events we can run as a community and how we can sort of leverage the experience that we have. Other things are the working together on joint projects. So, you know, as a facilitator, I can coordinate projects that I can get funding for and almost like farm it out to the community and get people to work together on particular bits of research or writing up particular case studies. At the moment we're currently writing up a set of case studies in a book that we're going to be publishing probably in the next month or so, and I'm hoping that people will see those and add to them and see it as a kind of living resource that the set of case studies here and mine can be part of it. I'm going to, you know, use the format that's been sort of set up there and contribute my story to this. Yeah, I mean, other things that I've learned are don't think about the that in any community there's going to be 90% of people you won't hear from, you won't know they exist. You know, we just talked about that a moment ago. Don't think of those people as people that you need to change from being inactive to being active, because by definition they're not going to. It's very difficult to get a higher activity rate than about 10% usually. So, but what the way you should think about them are actually probably your key audience. They're the people who are listening. You know, if they don't want to be there, they won't. I get people asking me all the time to, you know, can you remove me? But even after actually a huge blunder that we had, where 50 out of office replies were sent in one night, you know, I only had about 5 people ask me to remove them from the list. So there's about 1,000 other people who don't actively respond, but they're not bothered. You know, they like being part of the community so much that they can put up with 50 out of office emails. You know, it just kind of goes to show that there are people who listen and are learning, even though we don't know that they're there. Yeah, I guess try to think of them as your key audience, and always talk with their ear kind of in your mind.
Absolutely. So one last question. What do you want to do or learn next in doing this work?
Well, I really want to continue sort of learning how these things work and working out how we can sort of apply what we've learned here in other situations. We do some work with other networks, usually more formal networks or sort of research networks. And yeah, so we want to try to understand how we've become, you know, as successful or whatever, however you want to define success, as we have been, and try to encourage other people and train other people in how to do this as well. Yeah, I guess that's where we want to go next, really.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for sharing your time with me today. And when I post this up on the web, I'll make sure I include links to the different things you've mentioned and maybe an acronym decoder, because it's really interesting when you work within the sector or outside of the sector. It's there's a whole different language, I realized as I listened. But thank you, and keep on doing the good work.
Great. Thank you very much.